taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. The U.S. reciprocal tariffs threaten tea trading partners worldwide. Bubble tea mints another billionaire. And new insights into the metabolism of theanine. Plus, demystifying Taiwanese oolong. Taiwan is a significant tea-consuming and tea-growing nation that processes 14,000 metric tons annually from 12,000 hectares of tea farms. The country of 23 million produces enough tea to supply a third of domestic demand, but growers often get better prices exporting their prized oolongs to the United States, China, and Japan. Taiwan ranked ninth in export value globally in 2023, exporting 12,400 metric tons. Valued at $100 million, Taiwan accounted for 1.4% of global tea exports by value. That same year, Taiwan imported 14,500 metric tons of mainly green tea from Vietnam. Tea consumption per capita has increased fivefold since 1980 to an average of 1.88 kilos per person per year. Joining us today is Sean Truhaoshung, CEO of Trilliant Tea Industry, a Taiwan-based tea-producing and exporting venture that supplies branded companies worldwide. Sean seeks to demystify and help tea drinkers fully appreciate the complexities of well-made oolong tea. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
On Thursday, the U.S. announced tariffs on tea equal to duties charged by tea exporting countries. In 2024, America imported approximately $522 million worth of tea, making it the second largest tea importer globally, behind Pakistan at $707 million and ahead of Russia at $488 million. U.S. President Donald Trump told reporters that, quote, reciprocal tariffs, end quote, would apply to all goods from any country trading with the U.S. Virtually every tea-growing nation erects trade barriers to protect domestic producers. Tariffs of 10%, 20%, or even 100% are not uncommon. India, for example, levies 100% basic customs duty, charges an integrated goods and services tax of 5%, and a social welfare surcharge of 10% on tea imports, more than doubling the cost for importers. The rates apply to both green and black teas, whether flavored or not. Final bound duties vary significantly by product, ag versus non-ag, for example, and destination. Coffee, tea, cocoa, and spices average 128.1% in India, There are no duty-free exceptions. Visit the World Trade Organization, WTO.org, to download a PDF listing tariffs for every member country. The United States exports relatively small quantities of tea, valued at $79 million in 2024. Canada is the most important destination for U.S. tea, importing $34.4 million in 2024, followed by the United Arab Emirates at $4.5 million, Japan at $3.7 million, Mexico at $3.3 million, and Saudi Arabia at $2.7 million. Germany, Australia, China, South Korea, and the Philippines import U.S. tea valued at between $1.5 million and $2.5 million. The Trump administration will negotiate rates to match those of exporters. Quote, "On trade, I have decided for purposes of fairness that I will charge a reciprocal tariff, meaning whatever countries charge the United States of America, we will charge them. No more, no less," President Trump told reporters February 13th. The directive stopped short of imposing fresh tariffs. Business Insight. This is a developing story. The impact on the world's 60,000 registered tea exporters and 64,000 tea buyers is challenging to assess, but likely significant. Many countries that export tea to the United States will lower tariffs for U.S. buyers to avoid paying the onerous rates they charge importers. Essentially, each rate will be established bilaterally. It will require weeks or months of investigations to evaluate levies imposed on U.S. goods by other trading partners. Priority targets appear to include China, Japan, South Korea, and the European Union, each critical to the tea trade. Investors this week rewarded GoodMe, China's number two bubble tea brand, with a hefty valuation, but it soon faded. GoodMe Holdings founder Yunnan Wang ended Wednesday 1.1 billion richer following an initial public offering on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange that valued his company at $233 million USD. GoodMe hoped to get $10 a share, a valuation greater than HK 20 billion, but the initial share price declined by 6.4% on opening day. Share prices peaked at $9.94 Hong Kong, then quickly slid to $8.30 at one point before stabilizing around Hong Kong 9. About $1 per share, or roughly 10% below expectations. Wang launched GoodMe after graduating from college in 2010. The business was located near the Myanmar border in Daxi, a third-tier city of 200,000. The company has since opened nearly 10,000 storefronts in small towns in 17 provinces across China, where competition is less fierce than the metropolises. Research quoted in the IPO documents estimated the company holds a 9.1% share of market, which is expected to grow to $71 billion in 3 years. Bubble tea sales were $9.5 billion in 2018. Wang is the sixth bubble tea billionaire and not likely the last. Each IPO has followed a funding pattern built on high expectations. The fundamentals are enticing, as nearly two-thirds of Chinese consumers drink bubble tea at least three times a month. One quarter consume these new style teas weekly. Milk and fruit teas are high-margin beverages that competitors quickly undercut, so the investment strategy has encouraged rapid expansion with the expectation consolidation will follow. When bubble tea brand Chai Badao debuted, the couple who founded the brand reported a combined net worth of $2.7 billion before a spate of price wars and new recipes that feature fresh fruit, boba, whipped cheese, and sweetened milk. Chai Badao fell by 27% on its first day of trading in April last year following a $330 million share sale. The stock is now down by 45%, according to VN Express. Business Insight. Bubble tea brand Meishua is next in line for an IPO following a two-year public offerings lull encouraged by regulators. The company now operates 45,000 outlets worldwide, including 40,000 in China. Undaunted by its predecessor's past performance, the company seeks to raise Hong Kong $1 billion. Researchers at Anhui Agricultural University report new insights into the production of theanine, an amino acid unique to tea and essential to the biological processes that determine tea quality. Their study, published in the peer-reviewed journal Horticulture Research, quote, sheds new light on the genetic regulation of theanine metabolism in tea plants. This research systematically investigates the role of specific genes and transcription factors in determining theanine accumulation, end quote. Anhui Agricultural University plant biologist Manman Chung writes that, quote, it is well documented that theanine accumulation is strongly influenced by factors such as seasons, development, and environmental influences. However, molecular mechanisms responsible for theanine biosynthesis and degradation are yet to be elucidated, end quote. Their study offers novel insights into the molecular basis of tea plant biology. Theanine is a signature tea component, shaping its umami taste and influencing its health benefits. The synthesis of this unique non-proteinogenic amino acid, mainly in the plant's roots, is a dynamic process influenced by environmental factors and plant development stages. The chemical is transported to young leaves where it stores nitrogen. During leaf maturation, theanine levels decrease progressively from younger to older leaves. According to Dr. Jun Sun, also from Anhui University, understanding the sophisticated genetic control mechanism governing theanine metabolism opens new possibilities. Quote, this study's implications extend further beyond fundamental plant science to practical applications in the tea industry. By modulating the expression of a key enzyme and its target genes, scientists and breeders could develop tea cultivars with enhanced theanine content, improving flavor and health benefits. This research deepens our understanding of plant metabolic regulation and offers a sustainable, science-driven approach to advancing tea cultivation and quality enhancement in the future. Next, Arvinda and Intheraman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 14th February 2025. Darjeeling faces a challenging first flush in 2024. Darjeeling saw one of its most challenging years, reflected in the low production of 6 million kilos, the lowest in several years. The year has already opened to a few challenges. Media reports say that the Chief Minister, Mamata Banerjee, announced last week that the ceiling of land for non-tea use on tea gardens would be raised from 15% to 30%. Many gardens are using this option to explore hospitality as a revenue source. However, the news has not gone down well with the majority Gorkha population. Led by Ajoy Edwards, the newly minted political party, Indian Gorkha Jan Shakti Front, staged a protest last week. The issues relate to implementing minimum wages, an assurance of 20% as the annual bonus, and land rights. This is worrying as the tea board has announced 27th February is a date of plucking in the hills following the winter closure of gardens, and protests could hinder the region's most crucial harvest season. Of the 87 tea estates within the ambit of Darjeeling Tea, protected by the GI, the Telegraph reported that 12 have closed. In other news, various members of the Indian Tea Industry Associations, including the Indian Tea Association and Tea Association of India and the Confederation of Small Tea Growers Associations, met in Kolkata last week to discuss current challenges. The Smalti growers complained that the current price-sharing formula does not compensate for the cost of production. The associations also spoke about the current lack of bargaining power with producers. Consequently, the key takeaways were that 1. A minimum sustainable price of Meti indexed to the cost of production and quality should be introduced. And 2. 100% of Metis should be sold via auctions. Currently, 50% is mandated to be sold via auctions. Interestingly, Kenya introduced a minimum price for tea for its large and small tea grower segments in 2021. And this was withdrawn in 2024 because of the 100 million kilos of unsold tea as buyers refused to pay for poor quality tea at the minimum set prices. Mombasa auctions tea from a dozen competing African countries, giving buyers a choice of buying premium grade tea at prices near or slightly above the minimum or purchasing low grade tea at much lower prices than the minimum. In good news this week, 2 tea companies have had a successful fundraising round this fortnight. Upamanyu Borkakoti of Assam's Woola Tea pitched to the jury on Shark Tank India Season 4. He presented his patented green tea balls, which avoid the use of plastic or paper for single-serve tea. And he's come away with an investment of 50 million rupees, that's $57,000, from Aman Gupta, co-founder of Boat Speakers and Sound Systems. Upamanyu follows other tea brands like Tea Fit and Dodgy Teas, who have appeared on the show. And in the South, Croft Beverages has raised $125,000 in pre-seed funding. Last year, Croft set up its first farmer-owned mini factory in Bilikomba and the Nilgiris, and the company plans to scale and build 100 mini factories by 2030 to support a sustainable tea industry here.
And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Taiwan is a significant tea-consuming and tea-growing nation that processes 14,000 metric tons annually from 12,000 hectares of tea farms. The country of 23 million produces enough tea to supply a third of domestic demand, but growers often get better prices exporting their prized oolongs to the United States, China, and Japan. Taiwan ranked 9th in export value globally in 2023, exporting 12,400 metric tons. Valued at $100 million, Taiwan accounted for 1.4% of global tea exports by value. That same year, Taiwan imported 14,500 metric tons of mainly green tea from Vietnam. Tea consumption per capita has increased fivefold since 1980, to an average of 1.88 kilos per person per year. Joining us today is Sean Truhao-Shung, CEO of Trilliant Tea Industry, a Taiwan-based tea-producing and exporting venture that supplies branded companies worldwide. Sean seeks to demystify and help tea drinkers fully appreciate the complexities of well-made oolong tea. Sean is an expert in oolong production. He co-founded Funing Trading Company in 2012 in China after a career in IT and sales, including 6 years as general manager of a Polish-based computer company. He attended Zhongwen Christian University, where he studied business administration and graduated from the International Trade Institute, ITI. Sean, I've learned so much from our correspondents about tea growing in Taiwan. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. Taiwan oolongs are among the world's most highly regarded teas. Why is that the case?
I think outstanding qualities come from a favorable environment and continuous evolution of tea-making skills. Firstly, as an island, Taiwan is surrounded by oceanic currents. In summertime, Pacific currents generate warm monsoon, while cold currents bring big temperature drops in winters. Besides, two-thirds of Taiwan are covered by steep mountains and river valleys, so we have fertile soils, lush forests, and a diverse range of species. In fact, Taiwan has been very famous for its fruits and flowers and export them a lot. And in terms of tea, we also have many outstanding cultivars suitable for making different types of tea. Secondly, it's about the tea producing skills. We inherit traditional handling process that we learned from China back to 1860s, then develop our own ways to cope with the environment and cultivars to present the best flavors. For example, the famous Oriental beauties come from the combination of few elements. They are cultivars, insects called green leaf hopper poly in summertime, and a special withering to bring out the unique honey tones. And people might not know that Taiwan is the first country in the world to launch the high mountain oolong back to 1980s. It is far more complicated than just bringing tea to the mountain. And it takes new cultivational methods and new oxidation procedures to shape the unique, vivid, and refreshing notes as well as the lingering aftertastes.
Taiwan has been an innovator in tea production with oolongs distinctly different from all others. What is the history and trajectory of the Taiwan industry?
This is a very good question. In order to answer, we need to know what is oolong tea and its related history. In fact, there wasn't any oolong tea back to 1850s. Back then, it was only some different ways of handling fresh leaves in the experimental stage, alongside the traditional black tea and white tea. The former one needed flipping but no fixation, while the latter one needed fixation but no flipping. The prototype of the earliest oolong tea was gradually formed after 1860s. In an easy way to understand is the tea with both flipping and fixation. The skills at that time can create mild tea tastes but not much floral notes. Thus, people blended teas with flowers to enhance the aromas. In 1920s, Taiwan tea makers found ways to generate strong floral flavors by controlling the time and strength of flipping. They named the tea of Baozhong, and it was the remarkable era that we started to upstage Chinese tea makers by our own skills. In cultivation, Taiwan has native species of tea trees, and the seeds of different cultivars we took from China were mixed with the local ones, plus the other cultivars from South Asia like Assam, which was brought by Japanese during the colony period. And they all live happily together in the agricultural paradise. As a result, we have more than 400 cultivars till now, and we choose the most suitable ones to make oolong tea, black tea, white tea, and so on individually.
Several misconceptions and false information by marketers have led to consumer misunderstandings. Will you address these and set the record straight?
The first appearance of oolong tea was during the turbulent era of chaos and wars in Far East. And the complete concept of oolong making was shaped in even worse time, which stopped people from knowing it correctly. Oolong is much more complicated than its literal definition of tea partly oxidated, which can imply the tea with more oxidation than green teas and less than black teas. The modern Thai oolong tea composed of three flavors. They are original flavors of Camellia sinensis, flavors transformed from Camellia sinensis, and the flavors from rose tea. Three of them can coexist but not necessarily appear at the same time without correct handling methods. The second flavor is built on the first one, and the third flavor is based on both one and two. And this is the reason of the rich and consistent flavors of Taiwan tea. The most outstanding part is the quality of Taiwan oolong teas is not decided by the altitudes nor by the junior fresh leaves, but by the tea makers of how they handle everything in 33 non-stop working hours, literally, by 5 shifts in 7 phases. Except rich flavor, stable quality can also be obtained via process adjustments. For example, for whole year round, we produce 4 to 5 times for a dozen batches, and the end results of flavors are quite similar to each other despite of different seasons, weather conditions, and leaf status. And we know that the market potential is huge, not only of the tea, but also of the ways we make the tea, as long as the information barrier can be broken.
When you founded Trilliant Tea Industry, you developed a different tea-making approach. Will you describe the advantages of your innovations?
Growing up in tea garden and bushes, I never thought that I would take tea production as a career, despite of my family root. And after 10 years in IT industry and 7 years of living abroad, I started to think about what I wanted to make my own living and do something beneficial for my country. And tea seems to be a very good choice. Although Taiwan has exported a lot of teas to China for more than 2 decades and won many awards globally in past decade, people around the world don't know much about Taiwan teas still. An interesting but sad example is that many so-called Taiwan oolong or Formosa teas are actually made by other countries. Except the historical and geopolitical reasons, the high complexity of tea-making skills and layers of rich flavors are also difficult to be understood. In order to solve it, we firstly were trying to find an intuitive method to describe how the tea is made and what are the responding flavors created. Then we realized that we created a quadrant, a tool that makes flavors very predictable. In the charts, people can have a holistic picture of a certain tea at the first glimpse. For example, is it with grassy, floral or fruity notes? Is the mouthfeel vivid and fresh or mild and smooth? High astringency or not? Is it roasted or not? How is the roasting label? Can it be immersed for a long time or not? And even the proper brewing temperature and brewing time can be predictable. We are very happy about it. You see, by just 2 charts, the tea is telling its own unique stories, how it looks and smells like, how it tastes like, what can be expected, how it should be brewed, and so on. In fact, teas are interacting with readers directly and deeply without a word said by people. But due to limited time, we can't talk in details of how and why it works here.
U.S. consumers have imported Taiwanese oolongs for decades. The U.S., in fact, is Taiwan's top tea trading partner, spending $28 million in 2023. Which other tea markets show interest and growth, and why?
We do see the demand of specialty tea growing rapidly in Europe. Quantity-wise, it's still lower than the States. However, the growth is significant. What also worthy to be mentioned is that many buyers look for something much deeper than teas, such as sustainability and the collaboration relations. Besides, they start to search for meanings of craftsmanship by asking questions in details, and all these are very much favor of Taiwan teas. As a developed country where market economy mechanism works perfectly well for a long time, Taiwan has much higher wage level as well as the national health insurance system taking care of all workers. Take tea pluckers, for example, their daily pay is around $80 to $120, depending on the harvest volumes. Besides, Taiwan oolong making heavily relies on the healthy environment, which is based on the ancient philosophy of harmony relations with the earth and heaven. Thus, our pruning and fallow system allows the sustainability. As to our craftsmanship, that is very attractive and impressive for them. By seeing what we do in each phase and what it can bring up is simply amazing. And all processes are so much full of stories, because those stories are either from old wisdom or from our innovations to solve challenges imposed by weather, labor shortage, and so on. So simply saying, Taiwan Teas can provide them not only products, but also fulfilled expectations toward exotic cultures.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.